What say you, brothers, about the little book of Philemon, however you want to say that, 1 through 5, the verse by verse I just did?
Very thorough, brother. Very thorough.
Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Did you find something edifying in there?
Oh, yes, a lot. I had an additional scripture to...
You're always bringing scripture, brother. I love that about you.
For some reason, there was a verse in Peter that popped into mind for verse 4 or 3.
Well, he's looking for that, Brother Zello. What say you? Let him find his verse so he doesn't feel pressure.
Yeah. You covered it very well. I don't think there's a whole lot that you didn't cover, actually. Archippus, he mentions in verse 2, Archippus, and I don't know. He had this verse in Colossians 4. Where he says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And it's kind of going outside the study of Philemon, but it's just a thought of, if we've received a ministry from the Lord or in the Lord, we should take heed that we fulfill it and not be slack in it.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah, I think I gave Brother Purgos that example the other day. I said, imagine your company, your boss, your owner of your company says, I'm going away for a month. You know how to run this place. I'll come back. And he comes back, and you have not done what he's told you to do. Is he going to be happy with you?
You probably have to go find a new job.
That's what Brother Purgos said. Did you find your verse, Brother Purgos?
Yes. First Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That came to mind when you were reading verse 4 about, I thank my God making mention of these always in my prayers.
Yeah.
That came to mind for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was actually, when you were reading that verse, I just remembered this. Something that actually you're expounding on, I think it's a very good point of actually articulating your thankfulness to God and not just kind of taking it for granted. Well, you know, I'm grateful in my heart versus actually articulating it and saying it to God that you're thankful and showing your thankfulness.
Yeah.
And what jumped to my mind was Luke 17. Where the 10 lepers came to Jesus.
I knew that's where he was going. I knew that's where you were going. I knew that's where you were going. That was awesome. We think alike.
Yeah. The 10 lepers come to Jesus and, like, have mercy on us. And he saw them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Yeah.
And it's just the thought of actually, like, are you thankful to God? Then tell God they're thankful. Actually articulate it, because I think it's actually, when you take something in your life that you're thankful for and you just leave it as like this vague idea in your head, you're thankful for it. Yeah. If you actually get down and you start counting your blessings, so to speak, and you actually thank God for them, you actually realize exactly how thankful you should be and how many blessings you do have.
Amen. Yeah, it's a great point. That's what I was thinking about, the 10 lepers. Those 9 probably were going, man, this is great to be healthy. And they were feeling good in their flesh, but they didn't come back to thank the one that did it, did they?
No, it's actually also an interesting side note on how important thankfulness is. Because technically, they were obeying what Jesus told them to do. They weren't disobedient. They went to the priests. But they didn't have the overflowing thankfulness that God actually wants in the saints.
Yeah, they didn't go the extra and love the Lord thy God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yeah, speaking of extra, like, we're supposed to go the extra mile for an enemy. How much more extra are we supposed to go for God?
Yeah, it's a good question.
And yet people have this idea to do the bare minimum and God's supposed to be satisfied. I mean, you're supposed to go the extra mile for your enemy.
Yeah.
Are you not? How many extra miles, that's plural, are you going to go for the one who gave himself for you?
Amen. Amen. Brother Kuo, what say you about what I offered today?
Yeah, I thought it was very thorough. Just the one verse that I'll add is let's see here. Verse 3, it says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." I just wanted to add a verse because even though Paul was not present with Philemon, he had the same peace that the world cannot give, but only the Holy Spirit could give, and that's John 14:26-27. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So this isn't the world's peace, what people think is peace. It's a peace that the world doesn't understand. It's the peace of hope and fellowship, absent in body, present in spirit. It's just like a peace no one can understand but those who are fellowshipping in it.
Kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah, amen. I think of Paul being in that Roman jail, and he's got the peace of God. And he didn't let his circumstances bother him, did he? And anything else, brothers, on this verses 1-5? Anything else?
Verse 5. "Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints." There's actually a few scriptures, to the Ephesians, to the Colossians, to the Thessalonians, where Paul says the same thing. And it's kind of a testimony. Jesus said, like, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another."
Yep.
Right? It's kind of just, I know, an added thought on top of everything that you said about how important it is. And, you know, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." It's like the love of the saints is not some secret hidden thing. Like, it's something that obviously is noticeable in the true saints of God.
Amen.
Because yes. Paul obviously was hearing about it from these different bodies.
It's tangible.
Yeah, it's not like going to a building once a week and then, "Oh, we love you," and then you go on. It's an actual, like, they were in one another's lives.
Yeah.
They were there for one another. They were fellow laborers, fellow soldiers, gathering together in love and in faith toward Jesus and the saints. It's just that thought. That's one I had.
Amen. Amen. Brother Purgos, any other thoughts or scriptures or anything on this?
That just made me think of 1 John 3:18. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth."
Yeah. Yeah, that's like the verse in James when he says, "Hey, if you've got resource," I'm paraphrasing, "if you've got resource, you see your brother need, and you say, hey, go thee and be well." How did you show you loved your brother? You didn't. So yeah, love is another one of those we were talking about. It's another verb word. I know what a verb is. Don't ask me what a conjunctive adjective is, but I know what a verb is. Is there such a thing as a conjunctive adjective? I don't know. But a verb, I know, it's action, and love is action, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else, brothers, or we'll close this audio out?
That was all I had.
I've said my piece.
Yeah, that's it for me.
All right, thanks, brothers. We'll put this up, and it'll be there to people can hear our thoughts, and hopefully that verse by verse will bless people.